is coming up. Former J6 victim, political prisoner, really smart talk show host. He's on fire with his reports lately. He's joining us to cover the waterfront. But right now, I want to just look at the entitlement of the left and the entitlement of some people from Israel and the Muslims. So I just saw both these clips today. One of them is a Muslim lady getting arrested, and she's flipping out Islamophobia. You're in deep trouble. I'm basically God. It's the same arrogance you see in Europe. And in Europe, it's kid gloves with the Muslims. They can rape, kill, and not even get in trouble in many cases, as you've seen. And then I've got another entitled Karen. Watch Israeli tourist gets arrested in Florida and says she will bring the entire police department down with her if they don't let her go. And people say, these deranged Jews are absolutely crazy. No, it's Karens. It's women in general. It's Israelis. It's Muslims. It's whatever. But particularly the Muslims and this Jewish lady. I mean, this arrogance is just crazy. The entitlement. I'm part of a special group, so I'm better than you. How about we're all equal under the law? Let's get back to that. Instead of this tribalism, here's both clips.
Ma'am, I need to take a seat.
Why am I being arrested?
We told you.
He tried to kill me. What do you mean? He tried to kill me. He tried to assassinate me.
Ma'am, please, take a seat.
I am a woman.
Everybody drive in, Aurora. Thank you.
You're touching me, even though I told you I'm a Muslim.
Thank you.
You're still touching me.
Ma'am.
Okay.
You're a Muslim. Okay. Well, goodness gracious.
Okay.
For safety, so can you step back?
You're going to pay for this, you know? Okay. Do not touch me. Do not come close to me.
Can you scoot this way a little bit?
Come close to me. You know I'm a Muslim.
Can you scoot this way a little bit, please?
You know I'm a Muslim. Islamophobia. You did it. You did your Islamophobia.
Can you scoot this way just a little
bit? You did it, and you protected your own white people.
Hold on.
You ordered it. You ordered it, and you protected your own white people.
Okay. Well,
okay. You know, the Muhammad is going to take it. You know? The Muhammad is going to take it. Assault, you liar.
Thank you.
I'm going to unbuckle you. We're going to have you step back out. My female partner here is going to do the search.
You know, one of your people tried to kill me, right, female? Why are you getting close to my breast? You just touched my breast with your chest.
Okay, step out, ma'am.
You
I'm
going
to pay you down. Ma'am,
kill
step
me,
out.
Right? No?
Step out.
The same behavior? You never change?
Ma'am, step out.
You're going to pay for this.
Face the
Nobody wants to touch your breast,
There's
Walrus.
No fire in the game, and you know it. You not humiliate me, right? The
I'm
Muhammad?
Doing my job.
The Muhammad? Right, you're gonna pay
ma'am,
for this.
Listen, do you have anything in your pocket?
You attack me?
Ma'am,
no, it's a lawsuit.
Stop.
It's a lawsuit.
Do you have anything in your pocket?
Islamophobic. You're Islamophobic. You protected your own white people, knowing very well that he tried to kill me. Yep, you know him very well that he tried to kill me.
Spread your feet apart.
Islamophobic. Don't get in my. Do not touch my privacy. Do not touch my private. Right? I am a Muslim. Islamophobic. I am a Muslim.
Okay, have a seat.
Abracadabra, it's like a magic word. I can do whatever I want.
You know what you do best, right, to the Arab. You know who you are, right, the fallen angel? Yeah. You
know does she have her wallet on her?
You understand my language. You understand
wallet,
there's a new player in the game.
Or is it in the
You're
car?
Not supposed to do this to an Arab. Hello? You're not supposed what? To do this.
Hey, where's your wallet at, your ID, your purse?
What are you doing?
Where is your ID at? Is it in your car?
You're not supposed to do this.
Where is your ID at?
I am not giving you any of my information.
Okay,
what are you
so
doing?
We'll
I'm under duress. I am under duress.
You are under arrest.
No, no, yeah, under arrest, under duress.
Okay.
Right. I am being forced.
Hey, is her wallet in the car?
No, this is a
All right, now let's go to the crazy Jewish lady. Go ahead to the next clip.
I'm from Israel, so if you don't let me go right now, I'm going to bring it down.
Watch this entitled woman get owned for driving on the wrong side of the road and ignoring the officer's orders.
Ma'am, you're going the wrong way. You cannot go this way.
Ma'am, you can't go this way.
No, you're not. You're
going
to get, you're going
to
make...
Going to park over there.
No, you're not.
Ma'am, you have to back up.
I'm telling you, you're not. You're nose on with somebody right now. Please, turn around and go this way. Ma'am, there are children on the roadway. Please make a U-turn and go this way. Please, reverse and go this way, please.
Thank you, ma'am.
Please.
Step out of the car, please. Step out of the car, please.
You're arresting me for what? For what? You just told him. Oh, my Jesus. He put my arms back here. You, by the way, I'm sorry, but you need to lose your license.
Brandon Strzok is coming up straight ahead. Ton of news to cover back in 60 seconds. Globalists are collapsing worldwide, but they're fighting back with tyranny, censorship, and more. And they have targeted my operation more than anybody else's. But that's okay. That means we're over the target. It means we're effective. And I couldn't have done any of this without you. All of the success of my operation through the listeners, the viewers, your word of mouth, your support, and, of course, the great crew. And that's why I want to just thank you all as America approaches its 250th anniversary. We have to understand they're trying to demoralize us, trying to break our will. We can't let them do that. It's the globalists that are losing. We're actually winning. So, to celebrate America's 250th anniversary, we're launching the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. Buy one, get one free, ultramethylene blue. Buy one, get one free, bovine colostrum. Buy one, get one free, Shilajit complex. So incredible. And up to 60% off on all the other supplements, 50% off on all the Patriot apparel, limited issue, 250th anniversary, and more. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and be the reason we stay on the air and celebrate our American Republic, the globalist hate.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
I've known Brandon Strzok for, I don't know, 8 years, 9, 10 years. He's been a big Trump supporter, so have I. He was also there on J6. They tried to throw him in prison for no reason. And, you know, he has since then, he's always been popular, but I got to tell you, he's just everywhere, tens of millions of views every day. Elon Musk reposting him, just doing really good commentary on the insanity in the world. You see a lot of his clips here, so I wanted to invite him on the show. Just to get his 35,000-foot view of the midterms on Trump, because I think his views are really similar to mine. I'm not throwing the baby out with the bathwater, but I'm really concerned about the Epstein cover-up. I'm really concerned about the Iran war. I'm really concerned about Israel primarying our people and really throwing its weight around. Straka put out a video today. It's gone viral. Because you see this everywhere where the Israel influencers have been given $1.3 billion Israel fund in the last year. They admit that. To pay influencers here, and Netanyahu has all these secret meetings with Chatham House rules where he meets, you know, with dozens, sometimes hundreds of influencers at hotels here in the U.S. And citizens can have their pro-Israel view if they want, just don't be on the payroll of a foreign government while you accuse us of being Qatari. So there's so much to get into. You got this House of Horrors with 16 children found in a 12-by-12 room that couldn't even talk. It seems like every week they're finding one of these dungeons, a lot of it pedophilia. I mean, just to get into the – just there's so much to hit here, so much to go over with Brandon. You can find him on Branda Strzok. That's Straka. And, of course, he founded the Walk Away campaign early on and got a lot of people that are, you know, gay who don't support all the insanity of the left to walk away, and a lot of Democrats to walk away. Very successful. He got targeted by the left, and he joins us right now. So, Brandon, great to have you. I threw out a lot there, but go wherever you want first, because you're on so many levels, hitting on all cylinders. But maybe we should just start with your overall view of where America and the world is today, and Trump in the midterms. Great to have you with us.
Good to be back with you again, Alex. So the first thing I want to do really quickly is just make a minor correction on something that you said there, because a lot of people make this mistake. Walk Away has not been and has never been a movement specifically for gay people or the LGBT community. Since day one, Walk Away has been a movement for all people, and it began as a movement to walk away from the Democratic Party. We've had phenomenal success with the black community, the Hispanic community.
Oh, I want to be clear. I guess CNN and the media made it kind of about that to like,
yeah.
Well, I don't know why they did that, but yeah, you're right. You're right. Sorry. I'm sorry. I misrepresented that.
No, that's okay. And I think that kind of happened because Walk Away, especially in the early years, was phenomenally successful. And then everyone kind of started their own Lexit and this. And then I think people just thought, oh, well, Walk Away is for gay people, but it's always been for everybody. And so that kind of leads me to the other part of your first question, which is, we're still doing really great work with Walk Away. We're still very, very busy. But to be honest with you, I've had to kind of pivot a little bit because We don't really live in times right now that are as simple as they used to be, where this used to be sort of a left versus right paradigm. I'm actually starting to question if it was ever just a left versus right paradigm. I'm starting to question more and more every day if the war has always been more vertical than horizontal, people on the ground versus the power structure, as opposed to left versus right. Maybe that was always a little bit of a facade. But nonetheless, a lot of the work that we're doing right now is covering what we're calling the Great MAGA Divide. That a lot of people right now are actually walking away from MAGA, and they're not becoming Democrats. They're not becoming socialists or leftists. They're actually wanting the America First movement that we were promised. And a lot of people are questioning if they're getting that right now. And I'm finding myself in that camp as well.
Well, I've been following your stuff basically almost daily for ever since you blasted onto the scene. And you're right. You got so many people to walk away from the Democratic Party, and the media would, I think focus on a lot of the gay people that left as well. But you got so many blacks, leftists, you name it, because the Democratic Party was so corrupt. It was so obvious. They were so racist. They were so divisive. And now I've noticed that you are saying walk away from being establishment and have been critical of Trump to a great extent. I still see so many other Republicans that are running as much better than the Democratic Socialist. So I overall still support the Republicans, think people should vote, but they need to check each candidate and obviously not support a Lindsey Graham or a Thune or, neocons like that. But at the same time, I think it's good to put pressure on Trump with his Israel first stance and things, because I've seen we're able to actually push him off of mistakes he's made. A lot of black pillars get mad at me and they say, no, you're kissing his ass. You shouldn't support him and praise him when he does something good. We should just totally turn on him. Well, I mean, he's turned a lot on his base. Us putting pressure on him and the Republicans to do the right thing is a no-brainer. We should keep doing that. But I do see this talking point that, oh, no, you shouldn't praise this or praise that when it's good. You should just bash, bash, bash. And I know you've noticed that as well. How do you thread the needle on that?
Well, okay, so what we've been doing with Walkaway is this series that we're calling the Great MAGA Divide Debates. And we've been having people, it's right versus right, essentially. It's most of the people in these debates at one point or another were firmly behind Trump and firmly behind the MAGA movement. Some of them still are. Some of them, like I said, have walked away and now consider themselves to be America first. But what we're trying to do.
And by the way, those are super viral. I should have raised that. I mean, Walkaway was a super hit, scared the Democrats so bad, it really helped Trump win. Definitely this last time. And yeah, you've launched these super viral debates that really spotlight the real fight is America first or Israel first, isn't it?
That's a huge part of it. That's a huge part of it. And I'll tell you, I'll kind of walk you through exactly the reason why we decided to do these. Many, many months ago, 8, 9 months ago, whatever, a lot of the noise started being made about the fracture within the movement. And of course, on one side, you've got Tucker Carlson, you've got Alex Jones, you've got Megyn Kelly and many other. On the other side, you've got Mark Levin and a number of other people. And I was visiting my parents probably 6, 7 months ago. And I was saying, hey, what do you think about this big feud that's happening in MAGA and Tucker versus Mark Levin? And my mom was like, what are you talking about? And by the way, my parents are they watch Fox News every single day, many, many hours a day. They're on Facebook. So they're not like uninformed people, but they're definitely living within a bubble that a lot of boomers are living within. And it became clear to me, I was like, wow, like she doesn't even know what I'm talking about. So I said, do you ever go on X? Do you ever? And she's like, no, not really. We mostly just kind of sit on Facebook. So I got her an X account. I got my dad an X account. I followed a bunch of accounts on both sides. And all of a sudden she starts asking me a million questions. What is this? What is that? Why are they fighting about Israel? You're telling me that people are not siding with Israel? We're always supposed to side with Israel. And I was like, holy cow. And I started to realize that this divide that's happening within the conservative movement, it's not just ideological, it's generational. And if you're over the age of 65, you're living in a completely different world than people who are under the age of 30. And then I'd say any of the age group in between is a little bit split, but I'd actually say maybe under 50 or more kind of pushed toward the America first side. And so to me, I was like, this is so interesting that we're all, ideologically backing the same political party, but Like, there's factions that don't even, like, one hand is not even talking to the other. And so I was like, we got to sit people down. And so the first debate that we did was boomers versus millennials, which that one was phenomenally successful. But we had three really intelligent conservative baby boomers versus three very intelligent conservative millennials. And I mean, it was like they were speaking two different languages. And I thought this was really fascinating. And the really interesting thing is when I announced we were doing this, my Facebook audience, which is older and more baby boomers, were super angry. I mean, I lost thousands and thousands of followers just for having this conversation and doing this debate. But we're going to keep doing it. We're going to keep having these conversations because I agree with you completely. As angry as people in the conservative movement are getting at people who are being critical of President Trump, or I would say just demanding that he keep his promises, I think it is getting through and it is working. I mean, I think that we're actually impacting decisions that President Trump and this administration are making by forcing them to be accountable for the campaign promises that they made to all of us.
Well, let's talk about that because you're a really astute guy. I want to get your view on this. Mark Levin, Ben Shapiro, and the Israel lobby that have gotten $1.3 billion the last year officially from the government. There's a lot more than that for private interest. To engage in the eighth front in the war that Netanyahu announced a year ago. And they admittedly, the talking points have come out. Trump's chief of all social media went public and said they offered him last year $20 million a year. That's $2 million a month to put out talking points that they gave them. And you did a video on that we'll play in a moment today that actually shows just a snapshot of how in live time, at the same time, they're all posting basically word for word the same PSYOP statement. And again, just be honest about it, okay? And we're not supposed to have all this foreign involvement in our politics. You know, supposedly the Russians do it with no evidence. Well, this is real. Israel doesn't hide it. And so Levin was smart. They were smart. They came out and attacked us, called us low IQ, called us Iranian agents, Qatari agents. A lot of people took the bait, yelled at Trump. He then called us low IQ and called me fried and low IQ. I didn't take the bait. I just said Trump will probably wake up that this war is going to fail and that it's hurting the economy and it's killing the midterms. Now Trump's kind of pulling away. But the point is that it was very smart when all these Never Trumpers came in and acted like they were the good guys. We were attacking Trump when we were actually trying to get him to course correct. And a lot of people took the bait to get really pissed at Trump. And again, I'm not kissing Trump's ass. I was never MAGA. I'm 1776. I'm all for Make America Great Again, but I came before this and I'll be there after it. I'm about making America free and prosperous and just and decent, not just great. So, you're not in the cool kid club. You're not the Jeffrey Epstein, Howard Lutnick table with Trump anymore. No, Trump, I'm glad separated himself from me because I'd already done it, but I'm still there trying to influence him. But what can you say about the genius of the Israelis tricking so many people and then tricking Trump into turning against his main base, which now killed him in the polls? Well,
yeah. So to answer that question, let me just like take a step back really quickly and remind people that 8 years ago, I walked away from the Democratic Party. I was a diehard Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Democrat Party leftist supporter. And when I discovered the propaganda, the manipulation, because I, you know, as a Democrat, I fell for all of it. And I believed when I walked away and I came over to MAGA, because that happened around 2017, 2018, I started walk away in 2018, I thought I was coming to the side that cared about facts over feelings. That's what I was told. This was the facts over feelings people. I was told this was the side that doesn't fall for propaganda. We do our own research. We do our own homework. We don't fall for the brainwashing narratives, all the stuff. And for many, many years, that seemed to be true. And what I'm finding right now is that I feel really betrayed in many, many ways because I lost just about everything. I lost my friends. I went to jail supporting President Trump. My reputation has been destroyed. I nearly lost my organization from mass deplatforming after January 6th because we
were debanked. We forget you were one of the most targeted people with deplatforming. And now look at Laura Loomer was too, but now she's for deplatforming. I'm so sad for her.
Yeah.
You've never changed your values, but you got put through hell. That would be a whole show.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I banned from banks, banned from payment processors, banned from email services, banned from social media platforms. And, you know, still I stayed with this movement. I stayed with this president. I continued to campaign in 2024, believing that this was the same MAGA that I was behind back in 2018, 2019, 2020. And what I'm finding now is that the behaviors that so many people in this movement are engaging in are identical to the left that I walked away from.
Bingo, so let me interrupt. They literally use the Sandy Hook talking points on me. High-level influencers, national hosts, low-level, and they use all the other same leftist tropes that I'm a Nazi. And it's exactly the left's playbook.
No, that is one of the most insane things. When I'm watching people who are diehard conservatives and people who are Trump supporters literally calling people Nazis without any sense of irony, that this is exactly the behavior that we used to object to the left doing, because not only is it not true, and not only are you assassinating people's character, but you're actually putting people in danger. I mean, the number of times I've been chased down the street, that I've been physically assaulted, or everything I went through with January 6th or anything else, that all ties to mass hysteria that's created when you falsely designate somebody as a bigot or a racist or a Nazi, and you instill that kind of fear in people.
Because you're saying it's okay to punch a Nazi, and when they call you a Nazi, it's okay to hit you in the head with a brick.
Yeah, now our side is saying that too. And you know, and you're saying, isn't that clever that they found this way to kind of flip the script? I mean, yeah, I guess so. But when the left does that, we call that rules for radicals. And we acknowledge that this is a very Marxist way to behave and that we shouldn't be embracing this kind of behavior in this country. Essentially, what they've done, I'll tell you something. When they started using that term woke right, like, I don't know, a year ago, 2 years ago, whatever, I kept reading it going like, I don't get it. Like, I'm not a total idiot. Like, I literally don't get what this means. And I kept asking people, like, what do they mean when they say woke right? Well, I'm not getting it. And people would explain it. And I'm like, I still don't get it. And it wasn't until they started turning on me that I realized, like, oh, it doesn't actually mean anything. It's just something that they're making up to try to silence people who are dissenting.
Exactly. A year ago, Netanyahu, in that speech, the first one he gave, we're launching the eighth front in the war. When he's telling all the Zionist, Christian Zionists, he says, we're going to use the term woke Reich, meaning Hitler, on anybody that disagrees with our war. And just cold-bloodedly, they know it's not true.
Yeah. And now this has been embraced by a huge sect of the conservative influencer movement. Like you were talking about that post I put out yesterday, a number of large accounts on X, and I'm sure it's more than just the four I mentioned, literally writing identical language. And look, okay, it would be one thing if it was White House talking points, you know, if they were all putting out the same messaging about America or President Trump. It's about a foreign country. It's about a foreign government. I mean, they're all working in lockstep and putting out unified messaging about a foreign country. And I'm like, what? How is this America first? How is this the MAGA movement? Like, what is this? This is nothing like what I signed up for and nothing like what I lost all of my friends and went to jail for years ago. I mean, what the hell is this? And so this is what I want to focus my time and energy on with my organization, my activism, and what we're doing. Because look, a lot of people, you know, and people who are angry at me right now are going, you know, why are you doing this? Why are you creating more division? You should just be out fighting the left like you always do. And I'm trying to explain to them. And again, this is where we're living in different bubbles. I'm like, you guys are not getting it. If the midterms were tomorrow or if they were next week, I think that the majority of people under the age of 30 wouldn't even vote at all. Many of them might even come out and cast a protest vote for the Democratic Party. And I do think we've lost libertarians. I think we've lost independents. I think that we've lost a lot of young people. I think the only people who are firmly still behind the movement now are mostly Zionists or boomers. And I don't think that they're getting it. And so to me, I'm like, the most important work that I feel like I can be doing right now is getting everybody on the same page, seeing that the divide is real. It really is happening. Helping people to understand what the divide is about. And then perhaps we can get the attention of the president and the administration and correct course to some degree. But, you know, we should have been focusing this whole last year and a half on mass deportations, making sure that the border is ironclad secure, and getting the American people, the economy on track, making life affordable, coming up with solutions to make the American dream attainable to young people who feel like that there's absolutely no hope. They, you know, they don't think that they have a future. They don't think they're ever going to be able to buy a home. They don't think that there's going to be a job market available to them with AI and H-1B visas and immigrants. We're not deporting millions of illegal
absolutely.
Immigrants
well, Trump's made statements like, I don't even think about the average American's economic problems. I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. All I care about is war. And Alex Brusewicz, Trump's speechwriter, head of all social media, again, he said that a year ago, the Israeli government offered him $20 million covertly, $2 million a month, to work for them and propagandize Trump. That's illegal. That's espionage if the Russians or Chinese or anybody else does it. And that's what you're saying. This is a crazy national security issue. Israel is another country. They're in the Defense Authorization Act trying to merge and marry, is the word they use, and synergistically our military. I mean, that is such a big deal. And you couldn't be doing anything more healthy spotlighting that because it's killed Trump in the polls, this Israel First stuff. I want to play a clip of that report you put out where you highlight just a snapshot of four accounts at the same time saying basically the exact same thing. And I even like some of these people on most of the issues. But sorry, you need to, like a NASCAR, put a big Star of David on you so we know who you're sponsored by. Here it is.
Does anyone else find it a little bit crazy when a group of influencers has the exact same thought at the exact same time? What are the odds of this type of organic synchronicity? It really needs to be studied by science. An example of this phenomenon happened just today. The accounts of Ian Miles Chong, Will Chamberlain, Captive Dreamer, and Sam all had nearly identical wave patterns. Completely organically, Ian Miles Chong wrote, "Anti-Semites are turning me into a Zionist. Their low IQ energy is too much for anyone intelligent to handle." Somewhere else in the world, Will Chamberlain happened to think to himself at the same time, "Really starting to feel like all the anti-Semitism out there is turning me into a Zionist." And like a cognitive ping pong ball, Captive Dreamer somewhere else in the country wrote, "Anti-Semites are turning me into a Zionist. Their low IQ energy is too much for anyone intelligent to handle." And Sam, yet somewhere else in the United States, thought to himself at the same time, "Anti-Semites are turning me into a Zionist. Their low IQ energy is too much for anyone intelligent to handle." Remarkable.
Now, what you spotlight here, we'll go to break here in a moment, is going back to the Sandy Hook thing. I barely ever talked about it. Wasn't the guy that said it didn't happen. Covered other people a few times saying it. People did Google searches in the first 6 years of it, and I was never in a news article about it. Didn't get banned on X or over that. They just made it up later, raised money. And some days there would be thousands of articles if you did a Google search in the news. It would say some days 32,000 articles because AP's in every newspaper and TV station. So, you know, 25,000 would be an AP article, but there'd be thousands of other loan articles, TV shows everywhere. And it would say, he attacked their house. He peed on graves. And I would notice the publishing time would all be within seconds of each other because we later learned it was a PR firm of the Democrats with the DOJ and CIA involved that's come out in court. And they would paying them to send it out and all publish it at once. And that's what you're pointing out here.
Yeah, I am. And at least I give Will Chamberlain a little bit of credit because he took the message that they were sent and at least kind of reworded it a little bit. I mean, it's incredible to me the laziness on top of that, that the other three literally just copied and pasted the message and published it without, they probably didn't even read it. Honestly. And so, Mike, I don't know who's giving this directive to them and who, you know, if what they're being compensated, who they're being compensated by to do this messaging. But again, this is propaganda on behalf of a foreign nation. And you have American influencers who are taking the bait and doing this and putting out this messaging. And it's, I mean, what the hell? I just think it's crazy.
While again, they call us Nazis. And while they claim we're on the Qatari payroll.
Right, exactly right. They're claiming that anybody who points this out is doing that because they're the ones being paid by Middle Easterners and Arabs and Muslims to overthrow America.
We'll be right back. We're extending America's 250th mega sale, the biggest in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. That means this Monday the 6th and Tuesday the 7th at midnight central, the biggest sales ever. Buy one, get one free, up to 60% off the best-selling supplements, Patriot Apparel, 50% off, and more. Take action now at the AlexJonesStore.com. No republic, no empire, no nation has ever survived more than 250 years. But America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence. The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. Because the ideas we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores, and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off, and all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market, buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best, highest rate on the market, buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more, buy one, get one free. As I said, it was 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40, the highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at thealexjonesstore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff lost leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP, commit to the American Republic in the year 2026, help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at thealexjonesstore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all. We're extending the biggest sale in the history of thealexjonesstore.com. Take action now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Man, I gotta get Brandon Strzok.
Discover
on
trends
board.
And global developments years before they happen, right here on the Alex Jones Show.
I mean, I've always been a fan of Brandon Strzok, but I'm like a daily fan now. I watch all his videos. I actually go to his X account, which I don't do a lot, and I see it everywhere. So he's been successful, but is it fair to say you're more successful than you've ever been? Because that's exciting. And I mean, I'm not kissing your ass. It's true. You've always been very eloquent, but it seems like you've leveled up. What's happened with you?
God, I don't know. Do I think I'm more successful? I never think of myself as successful, so I can't answer that part of it. But I will say...
well, I mean, successful in getting the truth out. I mean, you're kicking ass, bro.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. Look, I'll tell you this. I've become a little bit black-pilled, okay, about politics on both sides of the aisle. I don't have a lot of faith and belief these days in Republicans. I definitely don't have any love or faith or belief in Democrats. And so what I'm trying to do right now is just put a lot of focus on the culture and focus on getting people to identify the ways in which we're being lied to, manipulated, that we're being deceived with propaganda. And I'm sorry, unfortunately, it's happening on both sides. And that's been really the really ugly discovery that I've made, at least in this administration. I didn't see it as much the first time around, but I'm seeing it a lot. So, yeah, what I'm trying to do now is just like take a lot of stories that I'm seeing trending in the news, break them down in simple little quick, you know, 60-second, 90-second videos for people. Let them know this is what's true. This is what's not true. This is how they're lying.
And it all makes sense, and it's all really, no one can disagree with you. You're doing a really good job, and you also got viral debates going on. You're doing great man on the street interviews. I always praise people that are knocking it out of the park. This is the time to take our country back. There's a fourth turning. The whole world's waking up. The globalists admit that. When do you think Trump started to go sideways? Just 4 or 5 months in, all of a sudden with Epstein and then the Israel thing. What do you think happened to Trump?
So I thought he started to go. Look, I was concerned right out of the gate because I didn't love a lot of the administration picks. I wasn't thrilled about Pam Bondi immediately. I've never been a fan of Kash Patel. I don't like Dan Bongino. I've never liked Dan Bongino. I've never told people the story of how he completely left me hanging during January 6th when he had his podcast.
Oh, tell it. Tell us.
Yeah, happy to. When I got arrested for January 6th, so people need to understand, too, this was at a time when I was, I was like a regular face on Fox News, all of the conservative mainstream media. But the second that I got arrested for January 6th, and just so people know, I didn't enter the Capitol, didn't engage in any violence. I mean, I never even should have been arrested or charged with anything because I didn't commit a crime on January 6th. They came after me because of who I am and what I do and for no other reason. And it was really, look, it was bad for everybody. So I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, I had it worse than other people. I'm not saying that. But I am one of the few people who was going through what I call the trifecta. I was charged with criminal charges. I was charged. A civil case was brought against me by a Soros-funded nonprofit law firm. They went out and found 8 or 9 Capitol police officers who were Black and represented them and sued me under the KKK Act, alleging that I was a white supremacist who went to the Capitol to deprive Black officers of their civil rights. And then I also got subpoenaed by the January 6th committee. So I was like drowning in hundreds of thousands of dollars in legal bills because I had to hire lawyers to deal with all of this. And the conservative movement wouldn't platform me for the most part. There were a few people, but I was reaching out to everyone being like, I'm dying here. I'm getting the hell kicked out of me and I need help. And so I went to Dan Bongino many, many times. And I kept messaging him and I said, dude, I need help, please. And every once in a while, he would respond to me and he would be like, write me back in a couple of weeks. And then one time he said to me, well, if I can find a few minutes on the show, I'll have you on. This went on for 2.5 years. And meanwhile, every time he would go on his show every day and talk about January 6th and talk about these people who are, the victims of Biden's weaponization. I'm like, dude, you've got a really well-known person who this is happening to, exactly what you're talking about every day. And like, let me tell my story. And so I ran into him at Mar-a-Lago. Tucker had me on after I went through my whole case and after I went through my house arrest. Tucker sat me down for like an hour and I ran into Dan Bongino and he came up to me and he said, oh, I saw your interview with Tucker. You did a really good job. And I was like, thanks, man. I was like, do you think I could ever, get my story out on your platform? And he was like, oh, yeah, shoot me an email. So I shot him an email and it was just the same thing again. And long story short, never did a thing for me. And then when he actually had an opportunity to go in and be a part of the FBI and actually go in there and identified the people who made January 6th happen.
He did a total 180 on everything.
Everything.
Everything. Listen, here's my deal on Bongino. He's a liar. He literally, 3 months ago, and I'm not whining about myself. I'm like, it's like you're got a lake and you put buoys up where there's rocks. I'm just like, just look out. This guy, or you're not going to kill a beehive. So you put a sign up saying, warning, don't run lawnmowers over here. It's like, warning, beehive. He literally goes on air and says, let me tell you a story about Alex Jones. I was on a show 10 years ago, and he came on during the break and said, let's lie to the audience and make up a story. And he said, I don't want to lie. And Jones said, no, this gets publicity. And so I went on the show, and I shouldn't have done it. 100% made up. 100. The crew, even people working here then knew that. He came on 4 or 5 times. I was promoting him running for Congress, whatever. The guy And now I've learned he's done this to all these other people, these FBI agents that gave him all the whistleblower stuff, Kyle Serafin and others. Yep. He then would go testify secretly to Congress when he's getting approved, saying, don't talk to them, they're frauds. And Grassley got in his face in closed session and then contacted them and said, this guy's working against you. So he's a double agent, man. He is bad, bad, bad. I mean, he is yep. bad. He's a bad man.
Yeah, don't like him at all. Don't like him at all. And I had concerns right out of the gate because it seemed like Trump was filling his administration with podcasters, cable news hosts, influencers, and all of these people. All of them I know personally. I've known them for many, many years. And I thought, okay, if this, first of all, it's bad enough that you're going to go down this road, because this is really serious business. I mean, when we're talking about de-weaponizing the DOJ, de-weaponizing the FBI, rooting out all of the bad actors in the government, getting rid of corruption, you need to have very, very serious people, and they need to have an extremely thick skin.
Look at the 180. Oh, totally, they killed Epstein. He knew all the elements. No. I saw the file, he didn't. And then they put out fake video with a bunch of stuff cut out. Then, oh no, Strzok acted, the shooter in Pennsylvania, Crooks acted alone. Oh, you know, the guy in Mar-a-Lago acted alone. He was known as intelligence and all those passports and money from Ukraine. And then on Epstein, on every front, cover up, cover up, cover up. I mean, it's such a disappointment, but I figured out he's always been bad. He's a chameleon. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine. And yeah, and to your point, when he has come out since being in the FBI and done a complete reversal on all of these things that he helped build his audience and build his fortune by pushing these narratives when he was on his podcast, it's not just that he's doing a complete 180, but he's talking to everybody like they're stupid now for ever believing these things in the first place. I mean, it's like the gaslighting and the total propaganda and then calling all of us, you know, doomers and panickins and, you know, that we're all bad guys for asking these questions. It's like, dude, we're asking questions about stuff you were talking about for years and you haven't sufficiently explained to anybody why you've changed your mind about any of this stuff. You've done a complete reversal.
Same
Nobody
thing on Cash
why.
Patel. What a disappointment. But you never 100%. Liked him. I tried to like him. I mean, this guy is incredible. What do you think's going on with that guy?
I don't know. I mean, look, when I look at both of them, I see two people who I think wanted to go into the FBI and wear cool badges and wear cool uniforms and fly around on private jets and live like playboys and live, you know, people ask all the time, well, do you think that the deep state was exposed to them? Do you think they saw behind the curtain and they were scared straight? And so they did. In my opinion, that gives them too much credit. I actually just think, I don't think they were ever serious in the first place. I think they wanted the attention and the eventual fortune that would come from being somebody who worked in the FBI under this administration, thinking that everybody was going to see them as some sort of national hero. And I don't think they had any intention of actually doing any of the things that said they were going to do.
And that's my next point for you. And you're astute on this. I want to get your take. And I had Mark Mitchell on, and the White House heard it. The vice president did, and flew him up there from the show. And he met with him 3 hours, an hour with Trump, a total three with Vance, Wiles and others. And to her credit, he was like, oh no, he needs to listen. We need to stop this. And Mitchell was saying, no more billionaires, no more, you know, all this stuff. People want to hear about jobs. They want to hear about all this stuff. You know, all this stuff's hurting you over here. And Trump really didn't listen, but now his poll numbers are like 30 from 58. We're going to lose the midterms. Now I know internally Trump is upset, but he can't seem to change course enough. He's criticized Netanyahu some. So it's so sad to watch Bongino and Patel destroy themselves like deer in the headlights and do all this and now be so unpopular and then pretend that attacking us is somehow meaning they're the winners when you've seen Levin, Shapiro go from big audiences to almost none. I mean, Shapiro's gone from millions of views per YouTube to like 5,000. Levin is in the toilet. They're all destroying themselves, and we needed them to be good and help save the country, and they seem to be digging in. What do you make of this?
I don't know. I really think that this all backfired, and I say this all the time. You know, no matter how I feel about how things are going right now, one thing I'll always say is that I will always thank President Trump for being the person who got me to see that there is such a thing as fake news and propaganda. I would not have walked away from the Democratic Party if Trump hadn't run for office. But the problem with that is that Trump sort of woke everybody up. And Trump got everyone to see things are not what they think they are with our government. They're not what we think they are with the media. But then it's like, it's almost like they forgot that they woke us up. And now they feel like they can just kind of keep repeating these talking points to us that are obviously not true. And we know what they're doing. And we know that what they're saying to us isn't real, isn't true. You know, when you're telling us like, oh, the economy's never been better and the people have never been thriving and business, people are not feeling that and they're not seeing it. And they know exactly what you're doing. I love your point about the billionaires. I think that's been one of the biggest betrayals. Watching Mark Zuckerberg and Peter Thiel and all of these people that were at one time enemies to the administration and every Trump voter. I mean, these are the people that mass deplatformed Trump supporters, caused 10 times more damage to the January 6th defendants than they already would have been going through otherwise. And now they're pulled into the fray. I did one of my videos yesterday, like you were just talking about. Like, look, I'm not trying to just be a negative Nancy. I love how you always say you call balls and strikes. I'm trying to call balls and strikes, too. I'm trying to give praise where praise is due. But President Trump came out yesterday and said he's working with Walmart for Walmart to lower their prices temporarily to make life more affordable for people. And I'm like, OK, cool. That's great. But now everyone's going to go to Walmart, and this just negatively impacts mom and pop shops, small businesses. Why don't you incentivize small businesses to be able to drop their prices so we can get people into the mom and pop shops and getting everyday Americans thriving? Why are we supporting billionaire conglomerates like Walmart when everyday Americans are the ones who need these breaks and need these incentives and get their businesses thriving? It just drives me crazy.
Trump needs to get back to more stuff like no tax on tips and some of the good things he's done. And that's my paradox. You see the Democrat Socialists of America, you see that they know it's all lies, offering them all this free stuff. And then I see the alternative, but then because I have integrity and we already saw Trump slide so far, we got to get on his ass to try to get him to push back. And we've seen him slide back a little bit towards the good. Then I try to balance that. And then I catch myself because it's so horrific to watch Trump do wrong things that I can't stop talking about him. And then I talk a lot about the Democrats too, but how do you balance that? Cause I mean, you go after the Democrats probably even more than you go after the Republicans.
Oh yeah, for sure. But the thing is, we have this very small window that's closing, the small window of time where we needed to be doing mass deportations. We needed to be de-weaponized the DOJ and FBI, all of these things, America first things that people know needed to be done. I just interviewed Joe Kent. I'm launching my own podcast here in a couple of weeks. One of the first guests I had was Joe Kent. And I asked him, I said, you know, we would need to deport at least like 15,000 people every day for the rest of President Trump's term if we were just to try to get rid of the people that Biden brought in here illegally. And frankly, it's probably even more than those numbers, but that's what we know of. And I asked Joe Kent, would that ever have been realistic? Honestly, sort of expecting him to say, look, it's really not that realistic. But I was a little bit shaken to hear Joe Kent say to me, we actually could have done that if we had come in hard on day one with a solid plan and made that our primary focus. He said, unfortunately, what we did is dedicate so much time and energy and resources to Iran, which he said has really been going on for over a year. It's not just this, you know, few months that we've been at war, 3-4 months, whatever. He said, this has been going on since last summer. But he said, we could have gotten the job done if this had been the primary focus of the administration. And so I want to make every day count with the time that we have left. We've wasted too much time already. I don't think that we can accomplish everything that should have been accomplished, but we need to get in there and do what we can do with the time that we have left. And if we can change course, I think, and do a U-turn, then possibly we can look to 2028 and inspire people once again to get behind that. But I think for the midterms, I don't think it looks hopeful. Like I said, I think that we've really lost the libertarians, the independents. I think we've lost a lot of young people. I don't see that changing. And I think that there's going to be a huge splintering after the midterms between what will be America First and what will remain of MAGA.
And that was my next question. A lot of people talk about a third party, but the way our system's set up, that's so hard to do. And that tends to get the Democrats in. So it's kind of like cut your nose off and spite your face. But at the same time, we've got to punish neocon and rhino Republicans because our beachhead, you know, has gotten to be a majority, but it's still not enough because the Democrats can join with the neocons to outvote us. But if you look at this, notice oh, we don't have any influence. Alex Jones, Candace Owens, Tucker Carlson, Nick Fuentes, you get listed in there, along with a lot of others. And that's a diverse group of people with different ideas. But in general, we're being betrayed. We don't want Israel first. We want America first. But then the Mark Levins, everybody say, you don't have any power. No one listens to you. You know, our audiences are way bigger than theirs. And then they turn around and say, well, if we lose the midterms, it's your fault. No, these are all never-Trumpers that are in there knowingly destroying their own audiences. It's so unpopular. I mean, I'd say 80% of MAGA isn't liking this. I'd say half of those hold their nose. But I mean, still, this is devastating. We have the internal polls out of the White House. I've talked to them. They know, and they're still going down this thing. So when the Democrats win the House and Senate and come after Trump and his family and everybody, they've already got investigations over billion-dollar deals for tungsten in Tajikistan with his son signed up for it with Ludnick's kids. The day after they hire their kids, Trump gives them a multi-billion-dollar U.S. contract. I mean, this is crazy. And a lot of this insider trading and corrupt deals would make Nancy Pelosi blush. It would make even the New York Post says, God, this is worse than Hunter Biden. And what are we just supposed to have no morals and say, well, he's our guy, so it's okay? I'm pissed that this happened. I don't want to bitch at Trump. The Democrats want to put me in prison. They tried to put you in prison. I mean, I cannot sell out. I cannot do it. You know, I mean, I got the calls, you know, almost a year ago when I started to really turn. And it's like, come to the White House, come to Mar-a-Lago, we want to give you an award and all this stuff. And I knew what it was. And I just said, you know what the reward is? It'd be you getting back on track. And then boom, you know, I'm fried. I'm retarded. I got a low IQ. No, we were right about the Iran war being a failure. We were right about it killing the economy, Strait of Hormuz. We were right. They were wrong. And I think Trump needs to look in the mirror, Brandon.
Absolutely. And there's a few indicators here I think that people can look at too. So, for instance, if you go on YouTube, take a look at some of these debates Walkaway's been doing, read the comments, thousands and thousands of comments. I mean, my team and I were shocked when we read them because a lot of they're, you know, MAGA versus America first. If there's 7,000 comments, maybe more than that, like 98% of them are people saying, I was firmly behind President Trump. I was firmly behind MAGA. I'm now identifying as America first, because I'm not getting what I voted for. And look, I may be wrong. I've been wrong before. But I look at the results of Thomas Massie's primary and the breakdown of that by age. And that, to me, tells a very telling story about what I believe is going to happen in November. Because there's been this sort of like false sense of security a lot of people are lulling themselves into when they look at the primaries and saying, oh, these primary results are proof that MAGA is as strong as it ever was because all of President Trump's endorsements are winning their primaries. I don't think that that's a legitimate indicator. I think what the legitimate indicator is going to be is who comes out in November and how they vote. And I think a lot of people are going to be really shocked when that happens.
I 100% agree with you. And in a lot of these races, like Ken Paxton, he's endorsing the right guy. You know, in some, it's wrong, Lindsey Graham and what happened in Kentucky. But looking at this, and looking at what's about to happen to the Republican Party in the midterms, from the internal numbers I've gotten from pollsters in the White House, because they're really concerned if there are a lot of them are on our side, but if you criticize Trump, you get thrown out the door and basically fired. The numbers they have is they're going to lose like 30, 40 seats in the House, and the Democrats are going to probably gain the Senate by one or two, so it's going to be close, and then a few Republicans vote with them, so... I mean, the Democrats are going to go on a jihad, and then you're going to probably get, they're saying, 15 to 20 Democrat socialists elected. They're winning all the primaries right now. I mean, Brandon, this is going to be a disaster.
Yeah, it certainly is. And part of the reason, by the way, it's like a great mystery.
All right, his Zoom broke up. Let's reconnect with him so we can finish up. He's a real guy. He's a good guy. He's smart. And I see him getting demonized everywhere as well. But you heard the key point he made, Brandon made there. I want him to finish his point. He's back. And then we got to close out. Hopefully he'll come back soon, maybe even guest host sometime, because he's doing top-notch work. I'm just pointing that out. It's always spotlighted with the best of the best. Is that I don't need to read a poll. I live in Austin, Texas. I travel around the country. Everybody I know were Trump supporters. Some weren't early on, but they didn't support Democrats. And when they persecuted Trump and tried to kill him and tried to put him in prison for no reason, he had that underdog folk hero thing. And he had the biggest support ever just 2 years ago. At least 80% of the Trump supporters I know are either done and disillusioned, or they're holding their nose and super pissed. And so that's like 40% of his people are gone. 80% are pissed. You heard Brandon about 90% of the comments. You know, I see the same thing. So Trump, if he wanted to be unpopular and he wanted to become like the new Bill Gates or something, he's done a great job hitching his wagon to the Epstein cover-up. And I think that's the biggest thing that hurt him. Finish your other point, and I'd like you to address that, Brandon.
Sure. Basically, I think what I was saying was, and I missed a lot of what you said there because I froze up. But basically, to your point about, you know, on the one hand, this other side of the aisle wants to say that we're a small group of people. Nobody, there's really no divide. We have no influence. It's just a bunch of podcasters and people making noise. On the other hand, they seem to be very aware that there is a problem, that trouble's lurking around the corner, and they're going to be planning to blame us when that happens. But the other point that I wanted to make, too, because I hear this a lot, is when you start having conversations with these people and point out a laundry list of America First policies and principles that people voted for that they really wanted that they have not seen yet, these people always respond, yeah, but it's better than the Democrats. It's better than the Democrats. And it's like, there's got to be a better standard than that. You can't, I didn't vote to make America better than the worst thing in the world. I voted to make America great. That was the promise. I want my country to be great. And the policies that I'm seeing right now aren't helping my country at all, aren't helping people who are struggling right now. We're sending billions and billions of dollars to people all over the world. I want to see the American people thriving. I want to see American businesses thriving. I want to see my country made great. That's what I voted for.
Exactly. I knew when Trump in the last 2 months made like at least 10 statements where I don't even think about the average American's economic plight. I don't care about Medicare and Medicaid. You know, everything's great. The economy's actually wonderful. Look at the stock market. When in the real world, I know it's rough, but the roughest has been in decades. And yeah, he inherited this. It was starting to get better. Now it's gotten worse because of the Strait of Hormuz. And I'm just sitting here going, if the Democrats sat around in a war room and said, if we could control Trump's brain and make him say things that hurt him, that we could put in ads. And when I saw him a month, 2 months ago at like 38%, I go, God, he'll be at 30 with these statements. And every time he did it, he'd go down a few points. I mean, he's blowing his feet off with a shotgun. It's insane. Why is he saying stuff like this?
Right. Oh, and the point I was making before about the Democrat socialists, it seems to be a great mystery for a lot of people. Like, why are people embracing socialism? I learned last year, I started a Defeat Mom Donnie effort in New York City last year. I was literally the only activist in the entire country doing something. And we built a massive coalition of thousands of volunteers out there fighting Mom Donnie, got zero help from the Republican Party. But one of the things we were doing was doing these street debates all over the city, like on college campuses, but we were doing them on the streets of New York. And when people would approach the microphone and tell me they were voting for Mom Donnie, and I would ask them why, they would talk about the unaffordability of
hold on, Brandon. I know you've been on with us for 50 minutes, but a 2-minute break, do 5 more minutes with us when you come back and finish this key point, because that's another thing you've been doing. Yeah, just knocking it out of the park. A great example to other journalists and pundits of how to engage is Brandon Strzok. We'll be right back in 2 minutes. I'm Alex Jones.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company because they're the best. And he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started, or give us a call at 720-605-3900 and let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is. Type in what's wholesale gold and silver. And then you get it from them with a little processing fee. And then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation, email. You call 720-605-3900, 720-605-3900.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.